So, first I want to tell you a little story. So, the point of my talking today is really to talk about the importance of community and of supporting one another. And my story is, there's a man who's walking down the beach and he sees someone up ahead of him who's bending down and throwing something, but he can't figure out what he's doing. And as he gets closer, he sees that there are all these starfish on the sand, and because the tide is way out, and if the starfish don't get back in the water, they're going to die. And this man is picking up one starfish at a time and throwing them into the water. And the guy that's walking down the beach says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm saving the starfish." And he said, "Well, there's so many. How could that possibly make a difference?" And he picks one up and he throws it out in the water and he says, "Made a difference to that one." So you never know when you're going to make a difference with someone. I have gone through 15 years of being very sick. And in 2000, I found out that I got a call from my doctor, and she said, "You need to come in." And I thought, okay. And then I went on vacation. And then when I came back, she called me again and said, "You need to come in." And I thought, oh. So I went in, and she told me that I had hepatitis C. Well, I didn't know what that meant. I just happened to have a magazine at home that had an article about hepatitis C, which I read, and then I thought, oh my gosh, this is not good. So about 6 months later, my doctor decided I should have a liver biopsy. So I had one, and the determination was that I had moderate to severe liver damage, which I burst into tears and called my parents, crying, and the doctor said that I was going to need to have a liver transplant. So, and I felt very alone. I didn't know much about it. I didn't know anyone who ever had hepatitis C, let alone having to have a transplant. And then there was a man who was going through the same thing, who was a writer, and he'd been writing articles for the newspaper, one of the newspapers that I got, about his journey, and he was very eloquent and talking about it, and there was a way in the paper that they posted to get a hold of him. So I contacted him and thanked him and told him what I was going through, and he called me, which I was thrilled about, and said that there was a support group in Seattle, a liver transplant support group. So I went, and here was a room full of all of these people who were waiting for liver transplants or had one 2 weeks ago, 6 months ago, 10 years ago. And all of a sudden, I had this new community of people to support me and support what I was going through. It was amazing. I had a long process after that. That was in 2000. I didn't get my transplant until 2008. And I was sick a lot and in and out of the hospital constantly. But at one of my support groups, the social worker who facilitated the support group, I was really upset one day, and she asked me if I, you know, was like had a buddy in the support group, and I didn't. I wasn't in contact with anyone. So several people came and gave me their number, and one was this man who was in the support group, and he was way on the other side, and he walked around the room and came over and gave me his card. And eventually we started getting together for lunch, and now that man is my fiance. And one of the things I loved about him, he had a transplant. He had his 14 years ago. And one of the things I loved about him is that he was very involved in the community, and he and a couple other people who saw, really wanted to give back to the community, started a project called Transplant House. Because the University of Washington Medical Center is the transplant center for 6 different states. And people who come there to have a transplant, if they live more than an hour and a half or 2 hours away, they have to stay near the hospital for at least 3 months. And so they called and I got on vacation to Hawaii, and he got inspired by, I don't know if you've ever been away and stayed like in a condo. Everything's provided, right? They have the dishes, they have the towels, they have all of that. And he said, that's what we need. So that's what they did. They started with one apartment. Now they have 30. And they're always full, which is great, but also a little sad. And they're full with people who've had liver transplants, kidney transplants, double lung transplants, heart transplants, some combination of the two, or bone marrow transplants. So, again, a community for people. And there's a huge transplant community in Seattle that I'm a part of, and it's become an extended family for me, and incredible support. And so during this whole time, I got to a point where I went to the doctor one day, and he said, I had moved into a new stage of my disease, and I was really sick. Dee and Mark came up to visit me one summer for my birthday, and Mark and I were talking about it this morning, and that I really couldn't do hardly anything because I was so sick. And when I came home from the doctor that day, I sat on the couch and I started crying, and I couldn't stop crying. Then I sat there and I said, okay, well, this is where I'm at. And I sat there and I kept saying it. This is where I'm at. And I kept saying it until I got to the point where I could say, okay, this is where I'm at. And move on, you know? Okay, I'm going to have a liver transplant, and this is going to work. So I did. I got my liver transplant. One of the things with liver transplant is that 10% of the people who have a transplant have no problems. Carl has never been hospitalized for any problem with his transplant. Another 80% have some problems, and the last 10% have a lot of problems, and that's been me. So I've had 7 rejections with my transplant, which I didn't have to have another transplant, but they handled it with drugs. So they had to give me massive amounts of anti-rejection drugs. But I got through that, right? And over the course of the last 8 years since my transplant, I've been in and out of the hospital a lot. And a year and a half after my transplant, I was seeing my doctor, and my doctor said that I had fibrosis, advanced fibrosis in my liver. And I said, wow, I have a new liver. You're wrong. And he said, no, I'm sorry. You do. It's about to go into cirrhosis. Which once it's cirrhosis, it's dead. So he said, we want you to do this interferon treatment with ribavirin, which is very unpleasant. And if it doesn't, there's a 50% chance it will work. And if it doesn't, then that's it. I said, well, what do you mean that's it? He said, well, that's it. And I said, I wanted him to say it. You know, they don't want to say it. I said, well, do you mean then I'll just die? He said, well, yeah. And I thought about it, and I thought, okay. And I went home, and I was sitting with Colin, and I thought about it, and I said, you know, and he said, if it didn't work, then I would not be eligible for another transplant, because it would just happen again, and probably faster. So I went home, and I sat with Colin, and I said, you know, maybe we should, you know, I had some inheritance from both my parents passing away, and I said, maybe we should just take all the money I have left, and we'll just go do all the stuff we want to do. And we'll just let it run its course. And we laid there for a little while, and I said, nah. I'm going to fight this. So I did the interference. Well, and then I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, he looked at me, and he poked me in the belly. And he said, obesity can be a hindrance to it working. And I was like, what were you calling obese? I was a little chunky at the time. A lot chunky. I'm just a little bit chunky now. And he said that, you know, it would make a difference if I lost weight. So I said, okay. So I will start the treatment in 3 months. And I joined a gym, and I talked Colin into going with me, and I went every day. Sometimes I worked out twice a day. I'd go to the gym, and later I'd walk, or I'd do some extra TV exercise, you know, on a video. And in those 3 months, I lost 25 pounds. And I got the doctors together, and I said, look, this is going to work. This is going to work. Can you align with me on that? Can you stand with me that this is going to work? And they got on board, and I created them being part of my community. And I did the treatment for a full year. And it was not pretty. And it was, I think, harder on Colin than it was on me, because it became like a different person. Angry all the time. And but 6 months after I finished the treatment, it was gone. They tested me and they said, you are hepatitis free. And I was like, yay! And I walked down into the hallway, and all the doctors, all the hepatology doctors, came out in the hallway and were cheering. That they, to that point, had become my support group. You know, so I can't stress enough the importance of having community and support in our lives. You know, and if we don't have community, you know, or support to create that. And I was telling a friend that this morning, and she said, well, you know, some people, you know, that might seem hard to them how to do that. You have a community here that is available that you may or may not have tapped into, and if you haven't, then that would be good to do. But when she said that, I thought, I used to be a carpenter. I was the second woman in Oregon to get my journeyman's license as a carpenter. One of my claims to fame. And then a lot of things happened, and I stopped doing that. But a guy that I was working with one day, I was sitting in the shack with the guys, I was the only woman, and they were talking about someone who was kind of homely and how, you know, maybe they'd be alone forever. And this one guy said, well, you know, there ain't a horse so scruffy you can't find a bush to tie it to. And I have never forgotten that. That there is someone or something for everyone. So, one of the things that has now happened for me is that because of all the rejections I've had and all of the massive amounts of anti-rejection drugs they've given me, now my kidneys are failing. And again, you know, I had to go through the whole process of, okay, can I do this? Yes. Because the alternative is not pretty, right? So I'm now on the kidney transplant list, and my sister, God bless her, is going to give me one of her kidneys. So we're in the process of being tested. But the great thing is, even if she can't, if she's not a match for me, then they have this thing called a kidney chain. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but so if she donates, but she's not a match for me, then there's someone else, maybe across the country, who also needs a transplant, and their person doesn't match them, but might match me, or match someone else, and that someone else's person would match me. And the largest kidney chain I've heard of was 12 people, and they all had to be in the same hospital getting transplanted. What a community! Amazing! You know, so don't ever give up. You know, that's the thing. Just, you know, sometimes circumstances get crappy. Let's face it, right? And, but just don't give up. And keep fighting, because we will persevere, right? So that's it.